Welcome to the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I'm Natasha, a licensed sex therapist and certified sex and intimacy coach, on a mission to empower Black women to choose a life of pleasure, not just today, but every day. There is nothing more powerful than a Black woman that authentically owns her pleasure and sensuality. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the gems. Okay, so Charlisa.
Yes, girl.
Thank you for interviewing me.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'm excited. I'm just so fascinated with you. So I couldn't wait to have this conversation with you.
And you are just full of energy. So I know you're going to make this conversation amazing.
Yes. Is that what they call people with ADD now?
Yes, so full of energy. Active, very active, yes. And full of energy. Yes, so I'm excited. So let's let the people know who I am, what
let's
I do, and why I'm here.
It. Yes, introduce yourself first and foremost for those who don't know the fabulousness, which is you. Who are you, boo?
Okay, so my name is Natasha. I go by Natasha Chantel, which is my middle name because it's like some zhuzh to go to it.
Yes, I thought it was French. Was
girl,
giving me see, French. Yes.
So the list of things that I do, I'm gonna run it down. Listen, I am a licensed sex therapist. I am a certified sex and intimacy coach. I am a certified sex doula. I am also a 200-hour yoga teacher instructor. Yeah, yoga trainer. Something. Yeah, that. Okay. And I'm also in the works of getting my Sexify sensual dance training. So I'll be, my first dance class is at the end of April, and I'm super, super excited.
Wow. Okay. So that's a lot of certifications and a lot of receipts. That's a lot of put some respect on my name.
That
is what I'm hearing.
That is somewhat of imposter syndrome of I need all the certifications to be like, I can do this.
Okay.
There's a little bit of that in there.
Got it. So do you think that is imposter syndrome, or do you just know that you have so many gifts to offer to people? Because I feel like those all kind of intertwine and go together for me. Like there was nothing that I that you just listed that sounded like, wow, that is so left field. What the hell does that have to do with this,
yeah, there was a method to my madness, but I think some of the methods could have waited.
Okay.
But they're done. I've got them. So it's like full circle realm of being able to help women from like their baggage, their trauma, moving in their body, and just like, let's get you some sex, sis.
Girl, listen, okay. Because I'm telling you, from the first time that I met you, everything that you said, and I'm like, she's making me question the celibacy here. Okay. Like aww. Right now, I feel like I need to go out and just give me a little piece of something right now. Like she makes it sound so fun.
It is. But it's like, it's bigger than being with someone. I actually was having a conversation with someone in the DMs and kind of like talking through what's the next step. She was like, well, how do I do this sensual sexual thing? And I don't have a partner. And I was like, the biggest power of this journey for women is you don't need a partner. That is an enhancement. It's like makeup. You know, you're already beautiful. You put on makeup to enhance the beauty. You already can be full of pleasure. You can have intimacy within yourself. You can be sensual and sexual in your life. The partner enhances that for you.
So that's harnessing your own power.
Yes.
So it's about you as an individual, us as women.
Right.
I love it. So how did you get into this? Like, I know you didn't just stumble across just one day and saying, I'm gonna teach y'all to have sex. So how did you get into this?
Charlisa, I used to be the kid that was up at night watching Real Sex and Taxi Cab Confessions and Dr.
Those
were
the good days.
You know, like with the volume all the way down real low.
Yeah, oh, you were sneaky.
I was. Because even though I didn't really know what it was, I knew I was not supposed to be watching it. That's what I did know.
Got it. So it came from like, which I think is very common, and especially in most Black families, that sex is taboo. Sex is a taboo
absolutely.
Subject.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was. And I had that back, you know how you have the back button so that it goes back to the cartoons?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I had that program so that if someone was to walk in, you don't know what I'm doing. So, but it's interesting that you say that, because I'd never really put that together that's like taboo. I just knew I was going to get in trouble for watching it.
Got it. And wanting to know more about it.
Right.
Were these conversations open conversations in your household?
Not really. My mom asked me, because she's like my biggest cheerleader in mm-hmm. all of this, and she gets a lot out of it as well. She asked me a couple of days, did we have to talk? And I was like, I really don't remember having like I remember something,
mm-hmm.
but it was like a real, it had to be basic because I don't remember it.
Got it. Well, it definitely had to be basic because she doesn't even remember it.
Right. Did we talk about that? No, but I find that most Black women, when I did a poll in one of the groups that I'm in, most Black women they didn't get to talk, or it was real basic. It was just don't do it.
Necessarily just basic. It was forbidden. I know for most women that I talk to, there's a lot of conversation about what you should not do. And there was never anything as far as like you like feeling good. Mm-hmm. Sex wasn't supposed to feel good or, you know, anything mm-hmm. like that. That wasn't like open for conversation.
Right. And out of 10, I want to say it was 10 or 15 people that commented on that. One mm-hmm. woman said that her mom talked to her about it, was very open, and she was a nurse.
Oh, got it. So from like a medical standpoint, she's like, this is just what your body is going to go through.
Right.
And you felt more comfortable.
Absolutely. That's
interesting. I love that. So why is pleasure so important for Black women? Why do you feel that is?
Because we move from a state of non-pleasure. Like so many people don't want us as Black women to have pleasure, because I'm a firm believer that we could really take over the world if we wanted to, if we stepped into that power. Like you see the things that we do when we don't focus on power, you know, when we don't focus on pleasure, like the things that we do as Black women, how we show up just because is crazy. But if we added that pleasure in our life, because pleasure isn't just about sex. So if we added rest, if we added boundaries, if we added the no's, like it actually gave more room to expand in our lives, focusing on ourselves. Could you imagine what we could do?
It's incredible. I mean, the opportunities are just endless. Like I just got inspired, you know? And I think that's something that, especially like just speaking as a Black woman, this fascinates me so much, because like I say, I think that we don't understand the power that we have. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, not even just with like the whole pleasure aspect, but just in general, you know, and I think that's, for me personally, I can say, after separating from my husband, that was the first thing that I wanted to do, was figure out what made my body tick, like what made, you know, and that was my way of like empowering myself, my form of self-care. So that's why I think it's incredible what you're doing, because I think, you know, like when I told people that, I'm like, yeah, I ordered my first toy, and they were like, you know, it's always a clutch your pearls type of moment.
Right. Or it's either clutch your pearls, or you have the people on the other extreme who are like, what do you mean you're just getting your first toy? What?
And they be doing the most. And I'm like, dang, like, you know, I'm baby steps now.
Right. Because you're not taught. Like my mom never talked to me about toys. I figured that out on my own through, you know, learning and getting my education. It's not too many Black women that I've talked to who were just like, here, have this toy. This is what it does. Go in your room and use it.
Right. And enjoy it regularly. Yeah. So I see that you just recently decided to pivot and work with Black women. Why did you make that decision?
That is super new and super scary. And I've been talking to all the people about it. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's always such a issue when someone makes a decision to focus on people of color, but it gets like the tick gets a little higher when you say, well, I just want to work with Black women. like Black women. It's almost like, why do they deserve for you to solely focus on them? Or I want to infiltrate that. What are y'all doing over there that you don't want no one else to be a part of? And so I just felt like the more research I did, the more I started reading about our history as Black women, I'm just like, this is kind of where I want to focus right now. And I want Black women to get as much pleasure as I do after the work that I've done and the things that I've learned. Like, it's a good place. It's a nice place. I'm not so angry. I'm not so intimidating. You know, the things that they call us as Black women, I'm genuinely okay with being still, being by myself. And I have zero guilt when it comes to, what does Natasha want now? What does she want right now? Okay, that's what I'm gonna do, because it feels good. And we don't honor that, because our mom didn't honor it. We saw her being the strong Black woman. She didn't do anything for herself. Grandma didn't do anything for herself. She was doing stuff for everybody else. So it's like, I'm gonna choose to do what I need for me, because the narrative is that if you focus on everyone else first, then you blossom. That is a lie. When you focus on everyone else and you put yourself last, you're burnt out, you're angry, you're frustrated. If you're a mom, you're snapping at everybody. But when I put myself first and do the things that I want for myself, everyone benefits. My partner was even like, down
effect for sure.
Every Wednesday I go to my dance class, and he said, I know that's what you do. You come back real happy and put together. I'm not, whatever we need to do, I'll be here to watch the kids. You go do that. Because it makes, like, it's an attitude shift.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I do think, I love that you say that, because I feel like our problems are specific. It's the same reason why there needed to be Black Lives Matter, not All Lives Matter. It's the same, you know, I think that historically, like you say, as Black women, our issues with just sex and sensuality and all of that are very specific. You know, I think it's deeply ingrained. So I think for me as a Black woman, I would feel a lot more inclined to have someone like you, who I feel like definitely understands. You're coming from a place of like, not, oh, I read a book and I heard about y'all.
Right.
Because I've had those specific words, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. You absolutely can speak in our language and speak to, you know, really like very specific issues, because I do feel like we do have issues that are unlike some what most people can resonate with.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's real easy for us to stuff it down and be amazing in so many areas and boss up in so many areas, until it comes back around to us focusing on ourselves.
Girl.
But it's a distraction though, Charlie. Say, if you think about it, we could go out there and start a business, make lots of money. We could have a bomb ass family. We could have the best girlfriends. Like, we can go out there and do all these things, but being a boss in all those other areas is a distraction from the fact that you are not a boss within yourself, and you haven't dealt with all of that yet.
Wow. And that, you know what? I read an article recently that was talking about that. And I think it was along the lines of women, like, you know, very successful women, and why they're usually either single, or they are like, you know, very like sexually unfulfilled, or they pick trash partners.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Because you can overexceed at, or, you know, shoot, explain it to us, because you're the therapist, girl. I mean, do we got time? You know?
Right. Like, do we just, there's that area. We can only go off of what we know, but there's always a part of us that's like, this is not right. Like, I'm not connected to myself. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not this, but we go out and we try to find it in other areas. Oh, I'm gonna go out and start this business and make all this money. Okay. I have all this money, but I still kind of feel there's a disconnect. Okay, well, I'm gonna go find this partner. I really love this person, but there's still a like, we go and we kill it. Like, we kill it in all these areas. Like, we get kids, they graduate, they become doctors, they doing this, they doing that. And we're still like, I did really good as a mom, but there's still something missing. The missing point is the connection is you. You're not connected to you. You have not sat with you. all of this external stuff is great, but if the internal hasn't been dealt with, all of that is just external stuff that you did.
It's the fluff.
Yeah.
We be so good at the fluff, girl.
We kill it.
Kill it. You said we kill it.
We kill it.
And we be dying inside.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. So tell us, what are you working on right now? What's going on?
So I have a membership community that I really have been focusing on giving that like intimate connection with women, being able to answer any of their questions, be there to walk them and support them and guide them through certain things. And it's not always about sex. Like when you think about having intimate relationships, it's not just with a partner, like it's with friends, it's with coworkers. So we've been talking about boundaries with other people. We've been talking about relationships with our mothers and, you know, because when you start this journey of self-discovery and connection to yourself, it's usually, you know, mom or grandma or aunt or the first lady that's like, well, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? We don't do that.
Right.
Take care of your family, or that's inappropriate, or why you have all these people in and out of your house? Like, chill out. I'm doing me.
all of the stigmas. And I think it's so interesting that you touched on the religious aspect too, because I think especially with most of us having a religious background, does that come up often, or does that play? Absolutely.
I recently had a client talk to me about, like, she's killing it. Like I said, she's killing it in all areas of her life. It's just that disconnect with the sexuality. And one of the things that we discussed is her dad being a minister and being in the church. And she was like, any given week on a Sunday, I can hug as a kid 300 people. So there is this notion that my body and, you know, like my personal space is irrelevant. It doesn't matter, because when we go to church, I have to hug everybody and I have to give, you know, everyone's kissing on me. And so it was for her, her words were, I've just gotten so used to being in the discomfort. It's just been a thing. So now knowing that I have a say so on my boundaries, on my personal space, it's been very difficult. Because if you spend all those years in the church, make sure, hug them, go sit with them, make sure
that neighbor, you know, look at your neighbor, go hug your neighbor,
right? And that's like the first thing you learn is okay, my body,
you don't
is
have
not
license
mine.
Over yourself,
right?
Wow, that is so, girl, that is so deep. I'm sitting here with my mouth wide open like, whoa.
Yeah And so people always come to me and they're like, well, I don't have a partner, or I'm not having sex. And it's just like, it's so much bigger than that. It's like welcoming yourself home to yourself.
That's a good way to, I love that, because a lot of us don't feel home with ourselves. You know, like in so many different aspects. And even like when you touched on intimacy, I think we are often, it took me well into my adult years to realize that intimacy did not mean sex. It did not mean, you know, anything really, just sexual in general. It's that, like you say, that close relationship with friends and with family and ultimately with yourself. Most of us have no idea what makes us.
Absolutely. And I've just really started like really honing in on my journey probably in the last year or so. It's gotten real deep lately with like understanding how masculine I am and where that comes from. Like the whole, I could just do it myself. It's fine. I'll need your help.
Right. And that, well, that's common in the Black community. Like, we don't know what that even means to be in the divine feminine, or, you know, like as April Mason teaches, like that damsel in distress. And I used to hate that term whenever she would use that. I was like, I cannot stand that she uses that, because it's like, what kind of weak basic stuff is that? And I realized that is a trauma response, which I think most of us in our community can resonate with, that we're a team of one. We're an army of one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So, wow. And my dad used to always have these conversations with me, and he'd always be like, Natasha, when you get to a place where someone wants to do for you, you have to let them. And I was like, oh, yeah, definitely. And right. It wasn't until the last couple months, I was like, oh, I get what he's That's saying. That's what he was talking about. And he's absolutely right. Probably not. So I was like, that has to change, because wherever I am, whoever I run into, like, I don't want to always be the one doing. Like, I want to be able to give someone, I want to be soft, you know? I want to be walking around in my flowing dress. You got it. Not having to make notes. Like, sometimes I just don't. Drop something. Right. Sometimes I just don't want to make a decision. I don't want to be the main one. And I think as Black women, that is what we are always looked at, no matter what it is. They're always looking for us for answers. Oh, I know you got it. Like, you're strong. Yeah. Like, I know you can handle it, but I don't want to. Like, what if I don't want to?
That whole part, that's the question. What if I don't want to? And without feeling guilty, or without there being obligation that I have to. I love it. So the work that you're walking women through, you've already done the shadow work. These are things that resonate with you. Would you agree with that? Or
the only thing is, the work is never done. It's just like new level, new devil. You know, once you skid past that, it just shows up, it manifests in a different way.
So it's always an unfinished product. It's always a journey.
Yeah.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Absolutely. Because situations come up, you never know what's going to trigger you. Like, you'll always think, okay, like, I got this, you know, me and my mom, we got it together. Yes, that's great. And then you level up. And you walk into a new situation sexually, or, you know, you're exploring some things you like are a little different. Now she got an issue with it. Now you guys got an issue again. Now y'all got to have that conversation again. So it's just like, as you start releasing to what it is you like and what you want, it's just, it's a new level. It's a new conversation. It's a new boundary that you have to make. It's just like they say, the more money you have, the more problems you have.
More problems, right. You just got to just. You know, we're building our muscle. We're constantly building our muscle.
That's exactly what it is. You're learning how to cope. You're learning how to go through the conflict. You're learning how to say yes to yourself, which means you're saying no to something else, but being okay with that and not taking it personal, not feeling guilty for having to tell your mom, your grandma, look, we not gonna have these type of conversations, and feeling like you're being disrespectful and everything like that. Like, that is forever. That is forever.
Because that's a common word that's used, especially in our community. Everything is considered to be so disrespectful.
No matter how old you are, I am your elder. But it's like, come on now, though. Like,
but you was wrong, though.
Okay, when you're elder. Talking to me, you out here calling me out my name and calling me a hoe. Like, what do you mean? That's not okay.
Right. Everything was considered to be you either being fast, you know, or you were being, you know, whorish or whatnot. You know, that's very, very common. So because I know that a lot of women can resonate with that, like, what is one thing you would love for Black women to know about pleasure?
It is yours. It is your right. It is yours. You deserve it. And you don't need the validation from anyone else. If you need validation, here is your validation. You deserve pleasure. Go get it, whatever it is.
I receive it. I receive it.
It's yours. There's so many messages that say that Black women don't deserve, and like,
We don't get to be, we don't get to be the thing. Huh. I believe you. I'm going to have to believe you when you say that.
I mean, that's all you can do. Like, but it's that unlearning. Like, you have to unlearn that you're just a sexual object. Like, you're just visually appealing. That you're just good for this, that, and the other. Like, no, we are worth so much more. And you have to believe it within yourself and say what you are deserving. You deserve rest. You deserve good sex. You deserve orgasms. You deserve space. You deserve alone time. Like, you deserve to ask for help and support. Like, all of those things are part of pleasure. I get pleasure out of asking someone else to do the dishes, to asking someone else to clean up my house. Like, I get pleasure out of that. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to have someone come clean this house, because I don't want
Girl,
to.
I just hired a housekeeper. Hello. Okay, listen. And I was so embattled with this because, you know, too. That's a common word. Like, you know, another common word in our community is lazy, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or why would you let some random person in your house?
Right.
Listen.
That's pleasure too. I'm realizing that. I'm like, okay. This is harnessing our power.
Absolutely.
This is harnessing that. Absolutely. So where can we find you? Like, how do we sign up? Like, what do we do? What do we do? How do I find you? Because I feel like we need you.
Oh, really. Thank you so much. So right now you can find me. I am in my Facebook group, which is free. Be sexually confident and sensitive. Or sensually confident and sexually free. I always mix it up, and it's my own group.
But we want all the things.
It will be in the show notes to click on it. So that is where I spend a lot of my time, because I enjoy going live and giving nuggets and chatting with the people. I actually will DM people and be like, hey girl, what you doing here?
Oh,
what
so you're not here? Like a robot. You're actually, you're talking to us.
Yeah, because I want to know what you need. I want to know what you want. I want to know why you're not doing the things and how I can support you. And so maybe you come into my membership. Maybe you just get on my email list and get some Monday love notes, because those go out every Monday, you know? So just come in my orbit, come in my energy. It's great over here.
It's lit over there. I'm feeling the vibes, girl.
Listen, mess around with me. Hop
over there and get my intimacy on real quick.
Mess around with me. Everybody have a pole in their house. You hear me?
Girl, look, I have extra space, so don't play with me. I'm accident prone, so if I have a neck brace on next week, mind your business. Just mind your business.
Oh, you can't have a pole, Charlize. No.
I mean, a little mini pole. You know, we got to start with, you know, the monkey bar type of poles. We need to start with that. We don't have me too high up off the ground. You know, I'm only 5 foot tall.
We just gonna send you to a class with professionals, ma'am.
That'll work with some padded floors. Yeah, that's what we need. We need a bounce house.
Absolutely. Thank you, Charlisa. You are so welcome.
I love this conversation with you. I love it.
Charlisa, tell people who you are and what you do.
Well, I am Charlisa Shadowbox, and I am the founder and CEO of Babe Camp, where I help service providers find their hidden money by figuring out how to implement systems into their businesses. Oh, so we are getting to the bag. We are getting to six figures. Yes. Because it absolutely is possible in business.
Yes, so, yes. Yeah.
I'm the anti-hustler, y'all. The anti-hustler. We don't hustle. We do business out here in these streets.
Yes, and we need people that look like us to be like, you could get this money. It's a pleasure. Right. It's a pleasure to have money.
Especially that's pleasure. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you need to buy you a couple toys, you can afford it. No.
I loved it. Yes. Thank you so much, honey.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'm so honored that you asked me to do this. I feel special. So, yes.
Thank you for listening to the Unapologetic Vixen podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If you enjoyed this episode, like, leave a comment, and share it with someone you know could use the space. If you're ready to tap into your pleasure, join the virtual Vixen Suite. It's a safe space for Black women to gain support and empowerment as they access pleasure, intimacy, and satisfying sex every day. And remember, pleasure is your right, boo.